Okay, sorry about that. Technical issue there. Welcome to all those outside also, and just glad to be here. A couple announcements as we begin. If you have your bulletins there, just a note that there is the insert in there again in your bulletins. A reminder about we're collecting items for North River Elementary School, and so hopefully maybe you've had a chance to get out. I don't know, maybe the snow has kept you from getting out and shopping, but there's still time. I know it says that it's going to end on the first Sunday of February, but that's not correct. We're going to extend that all the way through to the last Sunday of February. So there is some time to gather some of those items up, and I hope that you get a chance to do that to help those children and teachers in need of some of those things. Also, just a note that next Sunday on our bulletin board, we're going to have a list to update our directory. They're working on putting together a new directory for this year, and we want to get those new names, those addresses, want to make sure the old addresses and all the information is still correct. Lee is going to put that up on the bulletin, so if you'd like to be included in our directory, you don't have to be a member, all that kind of specified in the directory, who are members and who are not, but if you'd like to have your information in there, please see that next Sunday and just sign up there. Make sure that it's listed. Also, on the sign-up sheet, I think she's going to have a place for birthdays as well. And Lee likes to put in our bulletin at the beginning of the month the birthdays for that month. And so be sure to fill that information out, and that way she can get it put together for our directory and for the bulletin. Also on the bulletin board is a list for greeters. The deacons are working at having volunteers to come and to greet people. I don't know if you've seen when you come in the door, someone shakes your hand. That's our greeters. And they hand you a bulletin. It's a pretty easy job, but it's a good way to get to know everyone in the church. So you don't have to be a member for that. You can just sign up and sign up for a Sunday and come early enough that you can hand out the bulletins and greet people as they come. I hope that you will take advantage of that. Also, on the bulletin as well is a sign-up sheet for flowers. We're so blessed this morning that Nancy has put together some flowers that she used for Carlisle Grimm's funeral or his memorial service this Thursday. And so she has been so nice to set the flowers out, used for that, and we really do appreciate that, Nancy, and they look beautiful this morning, but maybe you would like to donate a bouquet of flowers. It could be in memory of someone, or it could be for a special occasion. Usually it's just a bouquet or something small or whatever size you want to get, but just sets there on the altar. And so if you have questions about that, want more information, certainly talk to me or Janet about that, I'm sure. And we'll try to catch you up to date, but hopefully we'll have some volunteers for that as well. Okay. Are there any other announcements at this time?
Deacons meeting Tuesday night at 6.
Janet's just sharing a reminder that this Tuesday will be our deacons meeting. So if you are a deacon, please be sure that you have that on your calendar. It's 6 o'clock. I better put that on my calendar. I might have got there at 7, 6 o'clock. Anything else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for, Lord, that we can come and we can gather here safely this morning. Lord, we thank you that we've all arrived here safely. And Lord, we just pray that you, Lord, just move in our midst here this morning. Lord, that you just speak to us. Lord, that you draw us close to you. And Lord, that you just shine your light and your love down upon us here this morning. Lord, we praise you and we praise your son Jesus. We thank you for his precious blood and his body that was sacrificed for us. Lord, we give him praise and glory here this morning. We come here together to worship him, the one who has died for us, and we praise his holy name. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. Let us stand this morning for our call to worship. You'll find this in the inside of your bulletin. This, of course, coming from portions of Revelation 22. It says, "The angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any more curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads." Let us turn in our hymnal to page 543, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder." Page 543. Our voice a little bit, doesn't it? That gets up there. Woo! Janet, I almost couldn't get there with you. Maybe I didn't get there with you. But I don't usually lead the music, so maybe I'm straining my voice and I'm straining your ears all at the same time. But praise the Lord, what a beautiful hymn, isn't it? Good reminder, when the roll's called up yonder, where will you be? We'll be up there, won't we, with Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the roll. We know, Lord, that you're preparing. And Lord, our name is on that list, Father, because we've received your Son Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Our name is going to be called. And Lord, when it is, we'll be up yonder right there with you, our Savior forever. Lord, we look forward to that glorious day. Lord, a day we will rejoice, free from this world, free from the sin of this world, free from the attack of Satan. Lord, free to serve you and worship you all the days of our life. Lord, we look forward to the day when the roll is called, and up yonder there will be. We praise you, Lord Savior. We thank you, and we give you all praise. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Okay, I want to take just a couple minutes here to gather up any prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time. A couple prayer requests that... I want you to put on your list. If you would put the Tim Woodell family on your prayers. Tim Woodell. Tammy Knott. I know maybe some of you know her. Her family was pretty active here before COVID. I know they maybe once things will calm down, they will be able to come back. But it's Tammy Knott's stepdad that has passed away. And so they were asking for prayers from the church. His name was Tim Woodell, and that was her stepfather. So if you would be in prayer for them, the service is going to be this Wednesday at Johnson's. I will be officiating in that. So just keep the family, myself, in your prayers as we move towards that service on Wednesday. Also, if you would keep Nancy Gibbons in your prayers. That is the stepmother for Sherry Woods. And Kenny and Sherry shared with me that they were going to be traveling to Maryland to be with her stepmother today. I think she shared a few weeks ago that her stepmom had got diagnosed with multiple tumors on her brain, and so they wanted to go up and just be with her there and help out. So if you would, just be in prayer for Sherry, for Kenny as they travel, also for Sherry's stepmother, Nancy Gibbons, please. Last week, I failed to mention this, but I think we just had so many names on our list, and I apologize, I overlooked this, but would you please continue to pray for the Eddie Stagner family? He was a longtime member of this church. The Stagner family came here. That was before me, and I've been here 10 years, so they've been gone a while, but he had passed away, and I know that many of you know that family and known Eddie, so if you would, just please keep the Stagner family in your prayers for the loss of Eddie. Also, would you continue to lift up the Carlisle Grimm family? I guess I have a praise of just thanks for all those who helped out with the services here on Thursday. It really did take a lot of help to kind of make all that happen. And I'm just so thankful that several people stepped up and served the dinner and helped with that and just helped make sure everything was in order. So I am really appreciative of that. What a praise I have for all the help that went into that. Also, we want to continue to remember the Charlie Bell family. Janet, we want to continue to lift up Janet in prayers and the Bell family for their loss of Charlie. Also, if you would put on your list Chloe Cook. I got word that Chloe has COVID and has been suffering from pneumonia. And Scott Cook, they're sometimes here, Scott and Kella Cook, and it's their daughter, Chloe. She lives in North Carolina and has been there for some time. But if you would, just lift Chloe Cook up in prayer. Also, the Agoric family, Megan shared with me that they have kind of been under the weather also, and if you would, just lift them up in prayer that they would feel better soon. I know that's a lot, isn't it? But God is good. He can handle all those prayers and a whole lot more, so we are just thankful for that. Are there other prayers that you would like to share, Pauline?
Joni, yeah. Cummings and her children have all tested positive.
Yep.
I don't know about the baby. The baby's only 6 months old.
Yeah, I know that Joni had tested positive for COVID and Josh had tested positive, but from what they told me, I think the kids hadn't gotten sick. So.
I talked to her yesterday.
Okay.
They tested positive.
Oh, they did. Okay. Pauline, thanks for sharing that. If you're hearing that outside as well, just continue to pray for Joni and Josh Cummings and their family, the children. They come down with COVID. I know they were sick on the services on Thursday. They stayed outside because of that. So we just continue to pray for their healing and for their recovery from the COVID. Pauline, yeah?
Virginia and Ed Smith.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. If you would keep Virginia and Ed Smith or Smitty in your prayers. Pauline is sharing that they seem to be under the weather again, and so praying that it's not pneumonia. We'll just lift them up in prayers if you would. Anyone else? Other prayer requests or praises? Bambi?
I have several friends that have come down with COVID.
Okay. Okay, David and Debbie Patterson.
And also Steve Bird and Vicki Bird.
Steve and Vicki Bird?
Yes, B-E-R-G, Berg.
Berg, okay. Steve and Vicki Berg. Vicki Berg. And you're sharing that they had tested positive for COVID as well. So if you're hearing that outside as well, just keep those two families in your prayer. Thank you, Bambi, for sharing that. And certainly lift those families up that are sick with COVID. Just seems to be a lot of people coming down with COVID, doesn't it? I know I was a victim of that just a couple weeks ago, and it took a week or two really to kind of get back on your feet from that. So we just pray that everyone recovers, and that maybe come spring the viruses will go away. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Just to get rid of this COVID and be done with all of it. That's my prayer. I think we're all just exhausted from it, aren't we? What are we, 2 years or 3 years into this? Nancy, Michael?
We have a joy in our
family.
Okay. And that is Susan's birthday.
Oh, Susan, happy birthday. Susan, wonderful. Happy birthday to you, Susan. Let's see, do I have that on my calendar? Usually I keep on my calendar. I don't have it. I do now. Let's see. Susan. Yeah.
I'm 35.
She turned 35 today. Wow. After you reach a certain limit, it just starts going backwards, doesn't it? Yeah. Wonderful. Well, that's great. Happy birthday to you, Susan. And I hope you have a wonderful birthday today. Surrounded by your family and your loved ones, that's the way you want to do it, isn't it? That's the best. So, are there, Joanne?
Karen and I got a tour last Sunday. After church, I went to see Randy.
Uh-huh.
And when I walked in, Happy said, I'm going to be a big sister on a big brother.
Oh, well, congratulations to...
I said, what do you want? She said, I don't care as long as it's healthy.
Randy and Jessica are expecting a baby. Well, praise the Lord for that. We... Yeah, and I bet Hadley, though, she's ready to be a big sister, isn't she? She likes all the attention, I bet, doesn't she? Well, praise the Lord for that. Joanne, what a great thing that is. We'll be glad when they come we can celebrate with them of that great news there. Thank you, Joanne. Janet?
I think it's a joy to have Ron and Roseanne Pennington back with us. They're sitting back here with their grandson and fiancé. They were active members in this church. He tells me they moved away 18 years ago. So a lot of you don't know them, but they used to be quite active in this church. And yep. So we're glad to have them back.
Absolutely. And some kinfolk to Joanne there as well, I believe. Roseanne is kin to first cousins. We're all kin somewhere along the line, aren't we? But that's wonderful as well to have that connection. And to be gone, I know you moved away from the area, but now you're back in the area, and we welcome you back. Hopefully Moscow hadn't changed too much. We continue to preach the word, but we're glad you're here. So thanks for sharing that, Janet. Okay, any other prayer requests or praises? Anyone else? With that, I'm going to have our ushers to come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are above all. Lord, that you are over all things, and Lord, that all things are under your watchful eye. Lord, we can always trust in you. Lord, there's nothing too great for you, and Lord, there's nothing too small for you that you don't take notice. Lord, we can always come to you, and Lord, we are assured that you are listening, and Father, that you are attentive to our every need. Father, we thank you for the offertory that is given this morning. Lord, we pray together, Lord, that you receive this offering. And Lord, that you are blessed by the hearts that give it. Lord, that you will continue to do a good work here upon this earth. And Lord, that you will use this church and others around it to continue to further your gospel, to preach your word, Lord, and to draw many people unto you. Help us to be a part of that work. Lord, not only do we offer our tithes and our giving, Lord, but we offer ourselves, Lord, as your servant. We surrender our life unto you. Might that be a beautiful offering in your kingdom. Lord, we pray too as we enter into looking at your scriptures. Lord, we always pray that our hearts will be open to receive it. Lord, we seek to grow in our faith. We want to be renewed in our understanding. And Lord, we want to learn what it is that you would have us to know. Lord, draw us close to you. Have us to do your work while we're here upon this earth. And Lord, we thank you for the blessed hope in which we have that is to come, that kingdom to come. Lord, we look forward to that day when we will step foot upon that ground and look upon that holy city and know that we are truly home. Father, we look forward to that day, and Lord, we don't know how long it will be, but Lord, we know that you've went ahead and prepared all those things for us. And we praise you for that. Lord, we give you all thanks and praise here this morning. Our hearts rejoice in you. And we worship you and your Son Jesus forever and forever. And it's in his name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers. Okay, again, this Sunday, we're not going to have children's church, but children, don't fret, we will get that back. I know that's a letdown for some of the children, but we will be back as soon as some of these things clear out and we can get our crew back together to start teaching the children's church again. So we look forward to that, and I know the children do as well. I said last Sunday I'll try to make it short and sweet. But anyways, okay, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. If you're outside as well, I hope you open your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verses 13 through 16. And we're talking about heaven, really, this morning. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to finish where we're starting here. I'm not sure if I'll get all the way through, but it's certainly a worthy start here. Maybe we'll finish it. I'm sure we will. Next Sunday, maybe be part two of this, but a city called heaven. I got to thinking about just how much people we've lost here just in the last little bit from our church. And I know each of us have probably been to a funeral or more here in just recent weeks or months. It seems like there's just a lot of loss. And I thought, you know, what better way to be reminded again as a church that we have heaven ahead of us, don't we? We're working towards heaven. We have that promise that is there for us, and we look forward to it. And so I just want to talk a little bit about heaven. So let's look here at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. It says here that these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Notice here, this idea that these people of faith, and it kind of goes through the list here in chapter 11. If you go back through it, it gives you a nice list of those people who had faith, were guided by faith. But notice it says there that they were like strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. The old hymn, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through," kind of is something that would maybe fit well into this portion of Scripture. These people really seen themselves as just passing through this world into a better place. And notice there it calls this city, a prepared city for them, a heavenly country that they were heading to. Now, when it comes to heaven in the Bible, do you know that the Bible lists three different varieties of heaven? Now, don't let me lose you here right away, but it does. It'll use the word heaven kind of in different ways, and so it's helpful to know what the Bible's talking about when it uses the word. Well, first of all, kind of the first heaven, you can see there one verse in particular, Genesis 6:7. It says, I will destroy humanity whom I have created from the face of the earth, both human and beast, creeping things, and birds of heaven. So that first heaven really is just the sky above us, the lower atmosphere where the birds are flying. The Bible would call that heaven, as a lower heaven, I guess, or a first heaven. And so you can see that within the Scriptures. The second time heaven is, or another sort of heaven, a second type of heaven, you can find in Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation in those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. There's the word again. Fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So the second kind of definition that heaven is used in the Bible is not the inner atmosphere where you see birds flying and that sort of thing, the clouds floating, but it would be more of the outer space that you see, where the sun and the stars are all collected together. This would describe this outer space, this second heaven. Now, the third heaven, though, and that's what we're really talking about here, you find that in Acts 7:55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So he's looking upwards, Stephen, as he's being martyred, and he sees God sitting on the throne. That's not the first heaven. He's not seeing God on his throne and where the birds are flying. He's not looking up in outer space where the stars and the sun are, but really he's looking into the spiritual place where God exists and where the throne of God is, and Christ is seated there beside God. So notice there, three different ways the word heaven is used in the Bible. And so you got to kind of understand what it's talking about in the context of which heaven the Bible is referring to. Now, what I want to talk about today is that third heaven, that place, that celestial city, even as our Scripture calls it here, a prepared city for them, that place where God exists and where Jesus is seated beside God there on the throne, where the angels are, this spiritual place. It's a real place, though. The third heaven is absolutely a real place. It has a real city. It has a real throne. It has real streets of gold. It has a real stream, even as you declared there in your call to worship, flowing forth from the city. The city is real. Heaven is real. Heaven's just a city like any other city, really. Maybe not in the sense of the sinful sorts of things. It's a perfect city. Charles Ferguson Ball said, heaven is a place just as much a place as New York or Chicago. It's a real place. It's a real place. You know, the majority of Americans, just kind of did a poll where they asked Americans whether or not they believed in heaven, and the majority of Americans still believe in a place called heaven. That suggested that nearly 80% of all Americans today believe that there is a place called heaven. Isn't that amazing that you get that high number, 80%? I doubt that, and I know there's not 80% that believe in Christ or in God, but yet you still have this high number, this high amount of people that still believe that there is heaven. They might not believe in the old-time religion, but they certainly like the idea of heaven. And they hold on to that and keep that. I guess sometimes, or I guess maybe we could get frustrated with that or angry with that. It's kind of this idea that they want to somehow still get the milk for free but not have to buy the cow. You know, this idea that heaven, I don't have to believe in God or have to serve Christ or even worry about anything that the Bible says, but, you know, I still believe in heaven. I'll pick and choose what it is that I want to keep, what I want to discard. People don't want to discard heaven, but they want to discard everything else that has to do with heaven and even who is there in heaven. I guess I could be angry at that. I don't think I am angry, though. I guess I'm somewhat glad that people still have a belief in heaven. To me, that means there's still hope, isn't it? There's still hope that people in their hearts, they desire heaven. They desire to go someplace. When they leave this world, not that they just cease to exist, but that there is some place delightful and wonderful that a person can go to. And, you know, in the church, we like to talk about a godlike vacuum in a person's heart. You ever heard a minister say that? There's a godlike vacuum within the heart of man. That is to say that we naturally desire the things of God, or we desire to be filled with something, and that there's this vacuum that is always needing to be filled within the heart of man. Of course, we say it's a God-shaped vacuum because the thing that man really needs most is God. Unfortunately, many people turn to all sorts of other things to fill that need within their life. They try to fill it with lustful sorts of things, with success or with enjoyment or with pleasure, on and on and on. But what the heart of man really needs is God. And that's the only thing that will bring about that true contentment within the heart of man. Maybe that's the same case with heaven. Maybe there's a vacuum or a heaven-shaped vacuum within us that we naturally desire to go to a place called heaven. We want to. We want to believe that. We need that in our life. Well, in any case, it's a good thing. And I think there's still hope for people to receive Christ because this need for heaven and their life. You know, another interesting statistic is not only do Americans believe in heaven, but they also believe that they are going there. If you were to go down the street and ask people, do you believe you are going to heaven? What sort of answer do you think you would get most often? Sure. Sure, I believe in heaven, and sure, I believe that I am going there. Well, you're not going to get the other answer, are you? Well, no, I don't have a chance. You know, I don't think people are going to come out with that. But most people believe in heaven, and most people believe that they are going there. Now, the good news is that if you've read the Bible, we can be assured that we're going there if we know Jesus. If we've received Him as our Savior and we've committed our life to serving Him, the Bible says that we don't just think, oh, maybe I'll go to heaven. We have the guarantee, don't we? We've been promised that He went ahead to prepare a place for us, that He might come again and receive us unto Himself. Us who? Us the believer. Us the Christian, the follower of God. We have been promised and guaranteed a place in heaven. In fact, we even sang about it there when the roll is called up yonder. Listen, there's a roll in heaven, the Bible declares, in which your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen?
Amen.
Your name is recorded in the registry of heaven that says you, on the day in which you depart from this world, that Jesus has declared that you are to go and reside in heaven and wait further instructions. Isn't that wonderful? Your name is in heaven. Listen, we as Christians don't just think, well, I hope when I die, I hope that I've been good enough, or I hope that I've done enough, or I hope that I've went to church enough, or I hope that I've given enough that God will receive me into His kingdom. That is foolishness, friends. We have been guaranteed a place in the kingdom of God if we've received His Son Jesus. And our names are written upon a book that declares it up there. And we will be received based on that. God wouldn't go against His own Son or His own Word, wouldn't He? If we go to hell and Jesus died on the cross, friends, Jesus died for nothing. And I don't believe that one minute. Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died for you. He died for me to make sure that we have a place guaranteed for us in heaven. Most people believe they are going to heaven. It has nothing to do with Jesus, though. It has nothing to do with any sorts of things that really are defined in truth or built in truth. It's just they would rather spend their time there, they think, when they die than someplace else. And so they feel like they're going there. Well, we know we're going there because of Christ. Okay. Now, heaven is really important, and we base our eternal existence upon heaven, really, upon Christ and upon heaven, that place, that city that is created for us. So I want to ask us a couple questions about heaven. I'm not going to finish this up today, but I'm going to start it anyways. And we're going to ask some questions about heaven, and we'll just see what the Bible says about that. First of all, where is heaven? That's a good question, isn't it? Where is heaven? Well, I guess the most simplest answer is heaven is up and hell is down. Now, that kind of sounds a little too simplistic. Maybe you think I'm kind of pointing fun at it, but no, I believe that's truth. That's what the Bible says. Heaven is up, hell is down. John 3:13 says, and no one, Jesus said, has ascended up into heaven, but he that came down first from heaven. Up and down. Heaven's up. Christ had to ascend up into heaven. He had to come down from heaven to earth. It points it out right there. John 3:13. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. That's not all. John 20:17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Again. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Again, this ascending up into heaven. Luke 24:51, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them. And the Bible says, and he was carried up into heaven. Listen, if you want to look towards heaven, which way do you look? Look up. Heaven's up, and the Bible would say that hell was down. You descend down into the depths of heaven, of hell. In fact, Jesus would say that hell was in the heart of the earth. Kind of pointing downwards. Heaven's up, hell's down. But where exactly is the city of God up there? Well, friends, that we don't really know. We can't see it, can we? We have some pretty powerful telescopes, don't we? But we've yet to see the edge of space. Some might say maybe you have to see clear to the edge of space before you can see where heaven begins. Yeah, I don't know if you've been watching or not, but they just recently put up a new space telescope called the Webb Space Telescope. Brand new thing. I don't know how many billions of dollars was spent on this and how many years that went into it. I kind of get into these things. I was following it all along from its time it was blasted off to the time it reached its orbit. You know, right now it's 1 million miles from Earth. It's orbiting out. It's orbiting the Earth in a kind of a circular motion. And it's already deployed and set up. This thing has a sun shield. It's as big as a football field, I'm pretty sure. And it's 100 times, it's going to be 100 times more powerful than Hubble. And if you've seen pictures from Hubble, they can be amazing, can't they? You know, one story was told, Hubble kind of positioned itself in a dark place within the sky and just sat there looking at deep space. No, you couldn't see any light, really. Just sat there picking up little teeny portions of light coming from deep space. And over a period of months, they finally developed it, and it showed you this just amazing how many universes are in this section of space that look completely empty. I'm not sure what Webb will see, really, but I'm looking forward to looking at the photos. We should probably start to see some of those photos in about 6 months or so. Webb is 100 times more powerful than Hubble, 100 times. It will be able to see things that we probably could have never imagined, and I'm looking forward to it. They believe that the space itself is about 94 billion light years wide. And that's kind of hard to process, isn't it, how big that is, 94 billion. But I looked it up and said if you were traveling in a spaceship that was traveling 5 miles a second, that it would take you, now that's fast, isn't it, 5 miles a second. That's quick. That's definitely busting the speed limit here. But if you were traveling that fast, it would take you 37,000 years to travel just one light year. 37,000 years to travel just one light year at 5 miles a second. Listen, the galaxy space is 94 billion miles wide. We'll never reach the edge of space, will we? We probably never even see the edge of space. I would imagine when Webb gets up and going, it'll look off into the distance, and guess what? That 94 might change into even a bigger number. Seems like God made it big enough for us to not even attempt to think that we could ever see past or get out of something that He has created for us. It kind of reminds you of the Tower of Babel, doesn't it? They thought they could just build a tower right up into heaven and reach God. Maybe God made it so its expanse so big that we could never get in our minds the thought that we could somehow reach it or the end of it or the height of it. Now, that's kind of the second thought. I guess that's rather the first thought, that heaven is beyond, it's up, but it's beyond so far that we could not find it. I guess the kind of the idea I lean more on is that it's not so far away that we can't see it, but it's that it's invisible to the things that our eyes can pick up. Now, that might seem a little weird to you at first, but there is a place in Scripture, and it's a story about a man named Elisha. He was a prophet of God, and I believe it's 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm pretty sure that's where you'll find this story. But there was a story where Elisha was being used as a mighty tool in the hand of God against the king of Aram. And every time Aram would call his troops to go someplace or some other place, the man of God, the prophet of God, Elisha, he would foresee, he would know and be warned of where the troops were moving, and he would tell the tribes of Israel, the armies of Israel, don't go into this place or this certain place, because the king of Aram is there and you'll be attacked. And so this happened over and over and over until the king of Aram got so upset. He said, who is this man of God? Tell me who this man of God is and where he is. Go and find what city he is in so that we might trap him and kill him. And so the soldiers went out, and they came back and gave report that Elisha was in Dothan. And so it says that the king Aram, he sent horses and chariots and a strong force by night, it says, and that he surrounded the city. And so it was that when Elisha and the servants of Elisha woke up, that they looked around and they seen that they were surrounded. The whole city was completely surrounded by this army of Aram. They seen that there was horses and chariots and soldiers and a great army. And the Bible says that the servant said, "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" They were feeling quite helpless, weren't they? They were surrounded in this city. But Elisha said to them, "Do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them." And the Bible says that Elisha prayed and that the Lord may open the eyes of the servants that they may see. And the Bible says that the Lord opened the eyes of the servants, and they looked around the city, and upon the hills they were full of horses and chariots of fire. Angels had surrounded the city, and God was there to protect Elisha. They couldn't see. The interesting part is that the man of God prayed, just open their eyes. It seems as if they didn't have the visual capacity to see those angels until God opened the eyes. And there they were. It seems like to me heaven is really close. I don't think heaven's all that far away. We just can't see it, friends. I think that's why we get all those scriptures where God is saying, "Draw close unto me and I will draw close unto you." I think heaven's right here close. I don't think our loved ones have went that far away. I think we just don't have the capacity to see it. You know, this Webb telescope, it's got sensors on it that will see spectrums of light that Hubble can't see. That's how it's going to see so deep into space. It has sensors. It has the ability to see something that Hubble could never view. It don't have the ability to pick it up. I think that's the way with heaven. We just can't see it because our eyes hadn't been opened to it. But heaven is close in my mind. Certainly really close. We just can't see it. Maybe that explains why in the Old Testament you see angels appearing and disappearing. All of a sudden angels were in the heavens declaring Jesus was born. You know, all of a sudden angels are appearing unto Abraham outside the tent. They just are there. It's just amazing. Maybe that could explain some people seeing all sorts of things. They think they see ghosts or this sort of thing. Maybe, of course, I'm just speculating here. But maybe there's just more of this than we realize, that heaven's so close that sometimes we see things. Okay, that's enough thinking on that. All right, number two, and I'll end on this. What is heaven like? Well, when it comes to heaven, believe it or not, the Bible actually has more to say about hell than it does about the description of heaven. The Bible tells a whole lot about hell. A place of suffering, a place of anguish, a place of great heat. It goes into great detail, the Bible, to tell us about heaven. It spends more time talking about hell than it does about heaven. There's a great deal of mystery about what heaven is like. Your call to worship has a little bit of description there about this city and a river and that sort of thing. There's other places in Scripture as well that talk about heaven. But I think the Bible spends more time talking about the details of hell than heaven, because I believe God's more worried about us going to that place than the other. God wants us to know and be informed about what hell is and what exists there and what torment resides in that place. You know, today some people really make light of hell, don't they? You ever heard somebody said, "When I get to hell, I'm just going to have a big old party. Just going to be a big old party." That's about the dumbest, foolish statement a person could ever make. Listen, there's no party in hell. Jesus never described hell as any party. It's a place of anguish, a place of gnashing of teeth, a place of complete and total darkness. There's no music and party in hell, let me tell you that. It's a place of suffering and it's eternal. There's no end to it. You know, when I had COVID, I had the at least the hope that, you know, in about a week or two, I was going to feel better. I wouldn't be in anguish anymore. You ever hurt yourself, cut yourself? You think, well, this hurts now, but thank God it'll be over one day. Listen, hell, there's no end. The torment in hell is forever and ever and ever. And just when you think that you might have gotten to the end of it, nope, it continues on. You just reached the beginning. Hell is a wicked, awful place that we should never play around with, enter in there. Even though the Bible doesn't say a lot about heaven, it does tell us some things. It's a place where God dwells. It's the throne or the home of God, you might say. Eye has not seen, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I think potentially any description of heaven would be short of what it truly is. Couldn't describe it. It's not entered into our hearts or even into our minds what is prepared for us there. It's too wonderful, folks. You can't even imagine it. It's too wonderful that any word to describe it is short of what it is. It would be a tragedy to even try to describe it because you would bring it down from what it truly, really is. Listen, heaven is a place where God wipes away all the tears, the Bible says. Heaven is a place where there's many rooms or dwelling places for everyone. It's not a crowded place. There's room for everyone there. Heaven is a place where the angels of God serve God day and night. Heaven is a place where no one is to be ashamed that they are God's child. Heaven is a place where Jesus sits upon His throne. Heaven is a place where Satan cannot enter in and tempt the saints. Heaven is a place where there is no suffering. Heaven is a place where there is no more sin. Heaven is a wonderful place, isn't it? I sure look forward to going there. And we're going to continue to ask these questions next week. I'll stop there. That kind of gets us started though, doesn't it? Boy, I'm looking forward to heaven. Are you? Let me ask that again. I'm looking forward to heaven. Are you?
Amen.
Amen. We're looking forward to heaven, aren't we? We want to go there. We're going to go there. If you've put your faith in Christ Jesus, if you've received the gift of His precious Son, listen, you're going to that place. There's no doubt, no question. It doesn't have to do with what you've done or what you haven't done. It only has to do with whom you have received and that you've received His Son Jesus as a gift of eternal life. Man, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how long it'll be. Maybe the Lord will keep me here for another, let's see, I'm in my 40s. Maybe another 40 years, if I'm lucky. If I'm real lucky, though, He'll call me home sooner, won't He? He'll call me home, and I'll be in that paradise, too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Great Heavenly Father, we look forward to that heaven. Each one has confessed here this morning, Lord, they are desiring and looking forward to that celestial city that You have for us there in heaven. And, Lord, we know that one day, whenever it is our time, Lord, we don't know when that is, but You do, that, Lord, You will call us home based on the promise, Lord, that we've received Your Son Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And, Lord, if a person hasn't done that yet, I pray they will just say this prayer with me this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, I receive Your Son Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I repent of my sin, and, Lord, I accept that without Jesus, I'll never enter into heaven. I receive Him now. And Lord, I turn from my sin and I seek now to follow Your Son and Your Holy Scriptures. to be obedient to those things and to dedicate and devote my life to following Him. Lord, and anyone as much as prayed that prayer, Lord, they have received the promise, even as we have. Lord, we praise You now. We bless Your holy name. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Okay. We're going to close with our last hymn. And I can't find my bulletin. 548. Beyond the Sunset. Maybe we'll just sing one verse of this. Let's stand together and sing. 548. Grace, Heavenly Father, as we go forth, Lord, I just pray we're encouraged as we've heard Your word here this morning. Lord, we've talked about heaven and the good things we will receive. Lord, I pray we go forth with a joy in our heart, knowing, Lord, that You have prepared for us a place. You have taken care of our eternal life. And Lord, we can trust in You. Father, we praise You. We bless Your Son. It's His holy name we pray these things. Amen.